Hello, everybody, and welcome to TYH. My name is Anglo, and it is episode 50. And with me, I have the good old Nikkei.
Hello.
But how are you feeling today, Nikkei? It's a nice Friday.
Feeling pretty good.
Are you?
How about yourself?
I've been pretty good. I've been listening to some footwork music, you know? Making my feet move really fast like an African in Chicago. So things are going fantastic. I also made myself some Indian rice.
What is that? The basmati?
Yeah, basically. And I put some turmeric and stuff. So I want to go to the comments of the last episode. And someone said this is from Wild Colonial Goy. I've seen him around on Twitter and stuff. And he says that your impression of the didgeridoo was amazing. Like that, you know. He's amazed you could do such an impression. And Fashy Front Hole, whatever that means,
oof,
says,
I know what that means.
I hereby officially suspect Nikkei of being half Abo. Or as Mike Enoch says, Abo.
Well, I don't think you'd ever be able to tell.
Yeah, because
they're so damn recessive that they never have any phenotypical inheritance.
That is so crazy because of how distinct, like, they look and the darkness of their skin. Like
midnight.
Black.
Yeah. Right.
It's a type of blackness you don't even see in Africa, you know?
Only in, like, the rarest sub-Saharans do you get this sort of lack of anything close to a white pigmentation.
There was this politician somewhere in Africa, and it was on Reddit, I think, one time. I guess this is one time where Reddit was based. So he was so black that you couldn't tell a difference between a colored picture of him and a black and white picture of him.
I'd believe it.
I want to go on to Vadhash Daska, a loyal fan, I believe, hopefully. But I see him a lot. Yeah, I've seen him for like the past few years. And he says that his racism type is KKK negative.
Not very intersectional.
They should do. There's this goth band, which I never liked. Were they more like goth metal? I don't know. Goth rock. I liked more of the sort of new wave style goth music. But Type O Negative. They should do a Type O Negative cover band, with people in clan, like black clans hoods, clansman hoods, whatever you call it. And I just make it spooky and goth like, and do KKK Negative. But my Dixie Wrecked says, you youngins are growing on a nigga.
Good.
We is getting old, but we is going to have fresh blood soon, mate. That is not African talk. I try to talk like a black, but I ended up talking like a Brit.
Huh. That makes me think.
So, yeah, we're going to have some fresh blood on the show ASAP. Things got to work out behind the scenes. But things are going on. And some guy asked for the RSS feed, but I'm trying to figure it out, but we're using Archive at the moment, and I can't figure out how to make an RSS feed. If any of you guys have advice or know how to do such a thing,
I think there is a website somebody referred me to.
There is a website I found, but you had to pay for it. I'm like, okay, I'm done with this.
Okay.
Maybe it was me that sent you that website. I don't know. But I'm not very technical when it comes to internet things, like, or, I don't know, RSS feeds. Like, I didn't even really know what they were until I started listening to podcasts. You know, I don't know. So I don't know much about them. So to create my own, I don't know how to do it. If the service doesn't have an RSS feed already, like, as a part of the service, then I don't know how to do it. But, yeah, Nietzsche's Tweezers says that the scholar got it wrong, or Kaikimik scholar, as he called her. Hitler did have piercing blue eyes. The Wagner family reported that it was the most impressive aspect of his appearance was his piercing blue eyes, which is a stark contrast to Nikkei's piercing black, soulless, mud people eyes.
Yeah, with like that sharp jaundiced yellow tinge.
Oh no! Oh yeah, like the delete tinge.
Yeah, just when you know somebody wasn't born in the contiguous boundaries of the United States.
But I've known about this website for a while, or this app for a while, but there's this thing called TikTok, which is very popular with the youngins at the moment. And there are a lot of cringe compilations. I think you guys know about those. But it's just kind of trippy seeing like 16-year-olds and looking at the trends. And there's all this androgyny and tranny stuff. I mean, I already knew it. It already existed when I was in high school. But it's commonplace now. But there's also a counter movement of ironic TikTokers who are 16-year-olds making fun of these trannies. So it is kind of fun. But TikTok is a... It's an app. It's kind of hard to explain.
So TikTok is similar to Vine in that it's an app where you can record short videos. But what makes it unique from Vine is that they usually have a musical bent.
Yes.
And you can use other people's content and then mash it up with your own.
Yeah, so you could do duets, as they call it. It's like... It's Musical.ly, basically. I think you guys know what that is.
I think they purchased Musical.ly.
Yeah, TikTok.
Musical.ly.
Yeah, so it's this app where people make their own little personal music videos to usually popular songs or like stupid normie meme songs. And it's, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's... There's also a big subset of nasty men on there, like guys in their 40s who are doing duets with like 16-year-old girls.
Yeah. The whole platform is sort of a source of just the worst kind of new cringe you can imagine.
Yeah, cringe never ends. You would think a generation raised on cringe compilations would recognize when to not be cringy, but they are still cringy.
Cringe finds a way.
Yeah, cringe always exists. It's the essence
of
the
universe. It's an evolving process.
Most things are cringe. Cringe will always exist. It's been the essence of everything. Most things. Only a few things aren't cringe. And those are the things that we look back with fond memory, or those are the things that make history.
You know, have you ever heard of the Lindy effect?
No, like Lindbergh? Charles Lindbergh? Mr. Lindy?
No. Oh,
darn it.
So Lindy effect is just a interesting heuristic that says the longer something has existed, the longer it can be assumed to continue existing.
Whoa, mind blown.
So, in practice, what it means that you can sort of surmise that something is Lindy compatible if it existed during the time of the ancients and still exists now. Mm. And I think
do they have
cringe?
Like...
Cringe is Lindy compatible?
Did the Greeks have their own cringe compilations?
I can't think of anything.
Wasn't there that play? I never read it. It was like called
specifically cringy, but maybe Oedipus is got some real cringe factor to it.
There is this play where I don't know who wrote it. It was Aristophanes. I don't know all these playwrights. I'm not very big into plays, but they made a play that made fun of, I think, Socrates and just how absurd his stuff was, and just kind of made him look like a fool. It's called The Clouds or something. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
But maybe that's kind of like a cringe compilation. Maybe they thought Socrates is just so cringe that they had to make a... Their way of compiling his cringe was to make a play about him.
Yeah, that sort of blurs the line between cringe comp and just parody.
Yeah.
Probably more towards the parody end. But one could argue that it's reflective of a proto-cringe compilation, because when lacking the resources and infrastructure required to actually record real things, this is the next best way of doing so, the next best method of documentation of just something you think is on its face ridiculous, that you write a play about it and have people reenact these events.
So I am right. It was by Aristophanes, and it's called The Clouds. It's a lampooning of intellectual fashions in classical Athens. So, yeah, and it has a lot of different characters, but the most famous character is Socrates. I need to read this. I really do. But
I guess the idea, the first thing that came to my mind of ancient examples of just cringe making history was... from the story of Noah, I think it was Ham.
Oh, Yeah, like where the blacks got the curse of Ham was because they saw Noah naked.
Yeah. That was like one of the earliest examples of just cringe making it down into history.
Is that antediluvian cringe, or did the deluge already happen?
That was on the boat.
Oh, okay. Forgot.
Yes. I believe the story goes that Noah was drunk one day on the boat, decided to take his clothes off. He's hot as fuck, and he's drunk as fuck. And, you know, one of his sons, Ham, I believe it was Ham, was the one who walks in and sees him and is like, LMAO, Dad, you're naked. What a fucking retard.
And then,
like, his other two sons come in, and he's like, oh my god, what the fuck? Dad, stop. And they just, like, look away.
Please,
and, like,
no, it's like that video of David Hasselhoff.
And, like, cover him up with a blanket or something. And, you know, when he finally becomes sober again, he's like, wait a second, I remember you. You fucking laughed at me, bitch. You ain't getting shit.
And that's where the blacks come from.
Yeah. Long story short, instead of blessing that son, he curses him, and that son goes on to settle Africa. Which is why bad shit always happens there, because...
they be laughing.
God doesn't love niggers.
So that is a good cringe story.
That was like, if somebody can think of an even earlier example of cringe... let me hear it in comments, but I think it's sort of proof that there was cringe. I mean, you might even say that when Adam and Eve realized they were naked, that was cringe.
Oh, that is true.
There's a lot of nudity cringe in Genesis, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Put your damn clothes on.
Yeah, what was I going to say? I have proof that the Old Testament people weren't Jews. They wouldn't name their child Ham, because they, you know.
I mean, really, when you think of it, biblically, cringe is the first negative emotion that anyone ever feels or experiences.
See, I was right in saying it's like the essence of the universe. It's always been there.
Right. I mean, if at least biblically, nothing ever felt bad until there was something cringeworthy that happened.
You know what? When you think about it, Jesus just thought the Pharisees were cringe AF.
Yeah, like, dude, you guys are autistic as fuck. Just stop.
Stop wearing your long robes and stuff, dude.
Like, these arguments, like, are just awful.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are an embarrassment. I can't be associated with you.
I think every alt-right person's favorite story from the Gospels is when Jesus creates the whip and decides to kick the moneylenders out of the temple.
I like that one.
Yeah. But someone said something that's like, he actually spent time creating the whip. So he was really angry. It says he didn't just go to the store and buy one. I think it says that he created it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he was sitting there and he made sure it was, you know, he was very mad. It kind of counters the image of Jesus as this hippie guy.
I wrote an exegesis about this for a class back in the day. I don't remember what I said in this paper, but I remember that I wrote it on this verse in particular.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think my argument was why that these actions weren't sinful.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jesus never sinned.
Well, right, but you can use exegesis to sort of say more than that, because that's sort of circular reasoning. It wasn't sinful because Jesus never sinned. I mean, that's not a real argument. There's more you can say to put these acts in context, which demonstrate the morality of them.
Another cringe compilation was when the Nazis had the Entartete Kunst exhibit, the degenerate art exhibit. It's like, look at this cringy, just pretentious, degenerate art. That was a cringe compilation.
But all of TikTok is one large cringe compilation.
It's even reached this weird point where the ironic TikTok videos are becoming cringe too.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to point out the cringe while becoming cringe themselves.
Right.
It's a weird philosoph. We could write a philosophical paper on that.
I think that sounds kind of postmodernist thinking to me.
We postmodernists now.
Or maybe the very most you could get from our perspective is maybe like a Nietzschean analysis.
Yeah, where you stare into the abyss or whatever.
Stare into the cringe and cringe stares back into you. Yeah, you knew what I was referring to.
But I guess cringe is an essence. Like, everyone is going to eventually fall victim to cringe.
The archetypical cringe lord.
Yeah. I mean, I listened to some of our older episodes. I'm like, dang, that's cringe, man. I listened to the episode, last episode. I'm like, boy, that's cringe. Nika needs to wake up, not be so sleepy.
Whoops.
Whoop-de-whoops. But I would recommend going on TikTok if you want to see some trannies acting weird, which I don't think anyone on our side should want to do, but if you're curious, there's TikTok.
I think TikTok is actually a form of oppression.
Hmm. Let's do some exegesis on this.
There isn't any exegesis involved in this. I think it's, I mean, this is just a purely subjective interpretation of what I experience when subjected to TikTok videos. And I find them to just be really demoralizing.
I'd be lying to you if, I forgot what I was going to say, but I'd be lying to you. Oh yeah. I'd be lying to you if I would say that some of these TikTok videos weren't stuck in my head.
Hmm.
So.
Why is that the case?
There's something very seductive about the cringe.
You aren't talking about hit or miss, are you?
Maybe. She's not a tranny, by the way.
I know, it's just, for you, is that a hit or a miss? Yes or no? Hit or miss?
No. Because I am in a relationship.
Oh, good for you.
So, there we go.
Yeah, I say no because I really can't mentally be attracted to attention whores.
I can't be attracted to someone who's a cosplayer, man. That's just too much.
Look, if the cosplay were kept to a private thing, which, spoiler alert, never is, then I wouldn't care. But
I would care.
If you're doing it to be... I mean, if the end effect, which it always is, if the end effect is being a thirst trap, then yeah, no, I can't deal with that. So,
for those who don't know, there's this famous TikTok video of this girl, this cosplayer, you know, dancing to a song, some really horrible song that's stuck in my head. It's called like Mia Khalifa or something like that, and she's just dancing along to it in cosplay costume, and it's all around Twitter, it's all around YouTube.
Yeah, if you just search hit or miss, you'll find it.
Yeah.
It's just, no.
That's just like a perfect example of what you will see on TikTok. Is that sort of self-importance, I don't know, and...
It's just vanity.
It's, yeah, vanity of all vanities.
Because all you're doing is like lip-syncing on film.
Have you seen the Bad Boy ones?
Yeah.
There's that one guy that looks like he has Down syndrome. He's doing it. I don't know. It's vanity, because they used to have this with Vine like 3 years ago when it was still around. They had, what was that, the Don't Be Ugly challenge or something, where it was kind of a similar thing. They would have some...
Oh, yeah. People who knew that, you know, they had a nice face would like...
Act nerdy for the first 3 seconds.
Yeah, they'd like put a makeup or Sharpies... like markers on their face to make themselves look gross and unhealthy skin, and then they jump cut to their actual face with or without makeup and sort of just humble brag their beauty.
I don't know who's very humble, man.
It falls under the category of humble brag, you know?
Yeah.
It's framed as trying to be a nice thing for everybody to say, hey, maybe if you were ugly before, you know, you don't have to be ugly tomorrow. Sort of like the I glowed up meme.
That's kind of like escaping.
People will show a picture of their awkward or unattractive middle school photos and compare it to what they look like now and say, oh, I glowed up. See, I got older and the ugly went away. It's sort of in the same vein that, like, you know, be careful who you call ugly on Vine because one day they might look pretty.
Yes.
But this is all just a humble brag because the only people who make these same vines already are aware of their beauty. And so you can conclude from that that the only reason they do it is to show off this this beauty that they know they have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
and in that sense it's just an act of vanity because they can get away with bragging without the pretense of bragging.
Yeah, well the bad boy ones are just even worse, I think, than the don't be ugly challenge, or I forgot what it was called. Back in on Vine, it's this song in the background where it's like, why do good girls like bad guys? And these men, a lot of the time, will dress like they're nerds, and then jump cut, they try to look as cool as possible, and it ends up just looking very cringy. They'll wear like flame shirts.
And then they got their fire thrasher tee and what.
Yeah. So Nikkei, I know you have an article on campus reform.
I do, actually. It's about one of our favorite points of disagreement with campus reform. Where we agree with liberals for the wrong reasons. But they have an article entitled New York University Student Senate Plans Israel Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction Vote in Private.
Wait, what's the... Say it in the shortened version.
The BDSM vote.
Ooh!
With the M standing for movement. New York University Student Senate will vote on an Israel boycott, divestment, and sanction resolution in private. The scheduled vote comes amid rising tensions between Jewish and Palestinian groups on campus. NYU Student Senator-at-Large Rose Asaf tweeted that student senators would propose a boycott, divest, and sanction resolution against the State of Israel at the university's Senate meeting on November 1st. The proposal comes on the heels of a resolution passed last semester which urged the university to, quote, review its non-discrimination policies for Palestinian, Middle Eastern, and other affected students traveling to the State of Israel and attending NYU Tel Aviv.
Ooh!
I guess they have another campus there.
I want to go! So I could study... Well, since Tel Aviv's like the gay capital of the world, they probably have to have some gay studies there.
Yeah. I actually was invited to apply to a foreign NYU campus. I think, what was it?
NYU? Abu Dhabi. Oh, wow.
Somewhere. Some Gulf State campus where... I don't know. I guess you'd basically learn about finance alongside Prince Abu Faisal or whatever the fuck. But yeah, NYU is just the internationalist degenerate university training people to be the next wave of faggots that dominate politics, economics, and culture.
Elitist.
It really is training people to be part of the elite class. Mm-hmm. And I really... I know one person who went to NYU. They fall in that latter category.
And he was a Jew.
He's not a Jew, but he became a real faggish guy.
Fag man.
Like, I don't think he's a homosexual, but he might as well be.
You know, I wonder. Is there... Do we know where Sodom was? Is there still a city called Sodom?
I mean, you know what happened. Obviously not.
I'm wondering if, like, Sodom in biblical times, Tel Aviv is where Sodom was. Like, what would that? Imagine if that would. Imagine if Tel Aviv was built where old Sodom was. That would be interesting.
That is an interesting question.
I mean, do we know? Is there still a place called Sodom, Israel?
Where the geographic location of
I'm from Sodom, Israel. It'd be funny if it still exists, and it's like, I live on 1234 Ben Gurion Avenue in Sodom, Israel.
Yeah, I'm a Sodomite. Yeah, it just means I'm from Sodom. What do you mean?
Yeah, but anyways. You know,
everyone from Sodom is a Sodomite. It doesn't matter what you do. I could just be the most normal guy ever, and, you know, because I'm from Sodom, I'm a Sodomite.
Whoa! I did not know this, but there are a few cities in America called Sodom.
What?
Sodom, Kentucky.
No fucking way.
It's now a ghost town.
Good. Did they plan this?
I don't know. Sodom, New York.
Was it renamed Sodom after everybody left?
I don't know. There's a place called Sodom, New York, which is a hamlet.
What happens there? Anything?
Nothing. I don't know what a hamlet is, really.
A hamlet's like, I think, bigger than a village.
Oh, okay. I should know that, but I don't, because I'm not an East Coast fag. Sodom, Ohio. It's an unincorporated community in Trumbull County, Ohio.
What are the demographics of Sodom, Ohio?
It doesn't say anything on Wikipedia. I'm looking at the references. I don't see anything, but I see this. The community was so named when a frustrated temperance activist compared the community to the infamous biblical city of Sodom.
Damn.
There is Sodom, West Virginia.
Why all these red states?
I don't know.
Like, these people just really hate where they came from, and they're like, this is the new Sodom, and just stuck.
There are multiple places called Sodom in the UK. Sodom, Shetland in Scotland.
What goes on there?
Let's see. It has 100 people. That's all I could find on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Oh! The name is a corruption of the Old Norse Zuthheim, meaning south home.
Hmm.
But it was.
I have some serious.
No, but it was the
how similar it is to something else.
It was formerly the home of Hugh McDiamond or McDarmond, who was greatly amused at the anglicized form of the name.
He's not the only one.
They should write on the Wikipedia page: Anglo and Nikkei were very amused. At the anglicized.
Yeah, for real. Like, what the fuck, guys? I know, like, the whole Norse to English translation isn't perfect, but you have to do it somewhat better than that.
Yeah, Sodom.
Please.
There is this. There's Bad Adara and Numara, the possible sites of the biblical cities. So, located near the Dead Sea.
What's it say about them?
Possible causes of downfall. AIDS.
Getting turned into pillars of salt.
It was destroyed by a significant fire. They also have Sodom, Netherlands.
Oh, man.
And they have Mount...
let's just go through this, man. What else you got?
They have Mount Sodom in Lund Quar, Pakistan. I guess that's where the Bakabazi goes on.
Yes.
And they have Sodom, Ontario, Canada.
Ah, is that what they call Toronto?
It was a small Canadian logging industry-based community. The community is believed to have received its name from a local 19th-century school official named Chester Prouty, who, in the midst of the temperance movement, objected to what he saw as the community's overconsumption of alcohol. And they purported... So it's basically the same situation as Sodom, Ohio.
Y'all prop motherfuckers need to get something straight, alright?
What?
I can understand this whole alcohol bad take... But, comparing it to fucking a man in the ass. Not quite.
Well, it says, and the purportedly exuberant subsequent social events that occurred there. Maybe in reference to homosexuality, but I'm kind of filling that in.
You think if that were the case, he'd just say it.
Hey, come on. Please, I don't worship an idol.
Look, if I drink a beer and you say that's the same thing as, like, being a fucking faggot, you're wrong.
The only idol I worship is Kelly Clarkson, the one that won American Idol.
I mean, no, that's just not right. She might be, she might have Greek ancestry, but that's, we don't worship her.
She does? Oh, yeah, she does. I remember reading about that. Wow. But anyways, what were we talking about originally?
We were talking about BDS. New York University.
Yeah, go on back to that.
So the final vote on the resolution is scheduled for December 6th, and votes will be cast anonymously, with only New York University students permitted to attend. During this time, those opposing the resolution will only be given 2 minutes to speak. The resolution comes at a time when conflicts between Israel and Palestine continue to rise, with student groups often clashing on campus throughout the country. Quote, this resolution is extremely opposed as part of the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement. Asaf and fellow Senator Large Bayan Abubakar
told Bunyan Abubakar.
NYU student-led newspaper, and then quote, a lot of the times at other universities, they'll try to separate it from the BDS movement and say, this is just divestment. We are explicitly saying that this is a result of the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement. BDS, quote, is a Palestinian-led movement for freedom, justice, and equality that upholds the simple principle that Palestinians are entitled to the same rights as the rest of humanity, according to the movement's website. Quote, this resolution is not about divesting from Israel, Asaf told Campus Reform, but it is about divesting from corporations that aid Israel and its abuse of Palestinian human rights. Although the specific contents of the resolution have yet to be released to the public, the proposal of this resolution has alarmed students across the NYU campus, particularly within the Jewish community. Well, imagine my shock.
Oh!
Adela Koyab, who currently serves as president of NYU Realize Israel.
I think it's already been realized, fam.
Israel isn't real.
Oh, wow.
Adela Koyab indicated that she sees a problem with the representation in student government. Koyab, a past senator, alleged that when students found out she was part of Realize Israel, she was then discriminated against on campus. Quote, it is very alarming that the entire demographic of pro-Israel students is excluded from representation on student government, and that the resolution is being presented that affects only that group directly, Koyab told Washington Square News. She continues saying the total absence of action on states such as Iran, Saudi Arabia, and China, where human rights abuses are common, shows an undue bias against Israel. Not a very smart take, if you ask me. But NYU College Republican Secretary Nicholas Suri told Campus Reform saying that he does not believe the resolution itself to be anti-Semitic. The singling out of Israel for this action likely makes some Jewish students feel unwelcome, Suri acknowledged. The college Republican secretary cited the fact that NYU recently received a number 9 ranking among worst schools for Jewish students. And they provide a link, which is a perfect diversion, because I'm going to find out what number 1.
Didn't we go through this a long time ago, like a year ago?
Oh, this is from January 2017. Probably.
Yeah, I think we went through that. Well, okay, these Jews are having a hard time, whatever. But what about all the, or the Zionist activists are having a hard time? What about the white activists who are doing, like, who can't even, like, show themselves in public?
I don't know.
So,
I don't think they'll give a shit. I don't think President Asaf will give a flying
Ein
fuck.
Sof, like the Kabbalah thing?
Nah, like Asaf, as in I'm an Arab, obviously. Oh.
Yeah.
Said Columbia University in New York City, New York, is the most anti-Semitic school in all of America.
Even though it's probably filled with Jews.
They give the Jewish population on campus a 3.5 out of 5.
Huh. How many Jews are there?
That's means it's pretty Jewish. Do you want me to read this whole thing here?
Yeah, you can do like a Cliff Notes.
So it says of Columbia University, dozens of anti-Semitic and anti-Israel incidents, including protests and walkouts of events related to the Jewish state, taking place at Columbia. Pro-Israel students have reported feeling, quote, very isolated on campus, in spite of the considerable resources the school has for its large Jewish community.
Oh.
There is a growing coalition of student groups and faculty members at the school voicing support for the BDSM in a regular Israel Apartheid Week, led by the Students for Justice in Palestine, is held. This year, I think referring to 2016, when students supporting Israel decided to respond to the SJP with a demonstration of its own, the student government forced it to roll back its reaction. In April 2016, students at the school hosted a speaker from the controversial Israeli group called Breaking the Silence, which accuses the IDF of war crimes.
War criminal! 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 War criminal!
Ultimately, it's the extraordinarily high number of anti-Jewish incidents and the presence of a constellation of anti-Israel groups on campus that have pushed Columbia University to the top of its list. It's funny how the preponderance of Jews on campus is correlated with anti-Jewish sentiment. You would think, in the face of enriching diversity, people would learn to love groups different from their own, but this evidence shockingly flies in the face of such theories.
I mean, here's reality. When I'm in the white neighborhoods, I just see like constant KKK, Confederate flags, hatred, you know, and like hatred of minorities, just everyone spewing it. But when I go out into the inner city, I just see Jews, blacks, Mexicans, Arabs, are all holding hands, dancing along the streets, living in a
kumbaya
sort of
kumbaya all the time.
Yeah, it's like a paradise. So yeah, like kumbaya, my nigga. So
right, it's just an unrealistic expectation here, and they're just trying to demonize Columbia because it's a wealthy elite school with a lot of Jews, and they want it to be even better for Jews at
yeah.
Columbia.
It's like all
so they put Columbia at number fucking one.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's this university is obviously staffed and by Jews, many Jews and many Jewish students, but it still gets to number one. It's
I
like
mean,
it's
I've
like,
heard
it's,
of like other campuses near me that have had like more concrete anti-Semitic incidents than this. There are others, like, not too far from me that have, like, a number of anti-Semitic incidents that have taken place that you just hear about on the local news.
Well, it's like the book we were reading last episode, What Was the Holocaust? So that the most pro-Jewish country, probably in the history of the world, or government, I wouldn't say the country, like the population, the U.S., is still reprimanded and looked at as evil, even though they saved the Jews from the supposed Holocaust. They're still...
Yeah, we weren't even like the French, who are guilty of the Holocaust for having railroads when they were occupied.
We just, because we didn't accept all the Jewish immigrants in the 1940s, we are horrendous people.
And it's
even though,
our fault.
Even though we are the ones who supposedly liberated you from the concentration camps, you still find a way to blame us. It's like Columbia is a very pro-Jewish university, but they'll still find a way to say it's not Jewish enough, you know.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, there's a lot of bad comments here on this article.
Hmm. What do they say? Any quick...
The number one comment says, at last, the Jews fight back.
Oh, they never do.
The leftist anti-Semites and Islamists are freaking out because they're being challenged on their own turf, which is their claim to own the title of, quote, indigenous people, unquote. After all, if the Jews are indigenous as opposed to being colonizers, then the left is duty-bound to support them. Well, I guess you've subverted leftist anti-Zionism there, haven't you?
I think they're now all Zionists after that argument. If they hear that, every leftist is going to become a Zionist.
They won't call themselves Zionists, but in effect, that's what they are.
Citrus. Any other funny comments before we wrap it up?
Number two says, enjoy the Muslim world, quote, Columbia Queer Alliance. And the person who says that, their username is Jersey York.
Ah.
So I can only wonder what their ethnic religious background
is. Oh! Jersey
York!
Yeah, I was raised, you know, my username comes, I spent half of my childhood in New Jersey and half in New York. So I combine it, Jersey York. Nothing suspicious here.
It's a very good East Coast accent, by the way.
Yes, one Aaron Arkady says, interestingly, how a quote-unquote queer alliance and a Muslim association are tolerating each other in their mutual hatred for Jewish people. I'm waiting for the day when these anti-Semitic queers being raped by their Muslim friends, quote-unquote. Once that happens, they might, just might, open their eyes and direct their hatred to those who possess a real danger to them. Interesting. The comment below, it says, some anti-Israel groups in Colombia should unite. For example, Colombia Queer Alliance and Muslim Student Association could form a unified group called Colombia Perverts Association. Interestingly, we have something here that says, it's just an inane comment that says, nihilist beliefs against facts. Islamo-socialist alliance against facts.
Huh.
Have you ever heard that one before? Islamo-socialist? I've heard Islamo-fascist, but not that one.
Well, Islamo-fascist is just basically Eric Stryker.
I don't criticize Islamofascism.
I criticize Islamo-socialism.
Yes, there's no space. Because
I'm an Islamo-capitalist.
There's no room for capitalism or communism in this
Umami.
Umami uma imam.
Yeah. If you want some umami taste, get some soy sauce. But
soy sauce? Umami just means, like, it tastes proteinous.
Isn't soy sauce supposed to be umami?
I didn't think so. Like, if you order a steak blue, that's umami.
You could do that.
Yeah.
How do you make a steak blue?
You don't cook it, like, at all, just for, like, a second.
Oh! That is horrendous.
It's, like, the most rare you can ever order a steak where, like, a lot of it's just, like...
raw meat.
Ordering a steak blue means some of the inside will be cold when you bite it.
It says soy sauce, this is on Wikipedia, soy sauce is also rich in umami components. It's from the Japanese, so...
Yeah, I knew that part. I didn't know they meant to apply to soy sauce, which... I don't like, because it's too fucking salty.
It's good.
Fuck soy sauce.
No, soy sauce gang. You know what? Soy sauce gang.
Soy sauce is bad, and you shouldn't feel bad.
No, I'm not feeling bad about it. No one will make me say no to soy sauce.
It's too damn salty, though.
We're white, and the only seasoning we're supposed to like is salt anyway, so...
I hate things that are overly salty. I prefer things that are very hot. Like,
well,
spicy over salt.
The way
if
Asians...
If you think salty is better than spicy, then you're retarded.
No, you're just Nordic.
Nah, unless you're trying to say all Nords are retarded, which I would never say.
No, yeah, especially you.
I give Nords more credit than that. I just don't give you that much credit, because you think soy sauce better than hot sauce? No.
Soy sauce is just fantastic. Well, the way Asians use it, they mostly use it in cooking, not so much to, like,
Well, you think people, niggas out here drinking soy sauce?
No, what I mean is in the cooking process as opposed to putting it on stuff that's already cooked, like rice.
They cook the rice with
some soy sauce in it. So it's more of an American thing to just, like, dunk it.
Does that make you a soy boy?
Yeah, I'm a soy sauce boy. So, I'm gonna go have some soy sauce.
Make your decision, America. You heard it here first.
You can either go the spicy third world way, or you could go the soy sauce Nordic way.
You can either be a soy boy or a hot sauce third worldist.
Yeah, that's it. And we can't forget the words of the autiste, you know? Which I forgot what they were, but he said something about hot sauce being bad. Or spices. But anyways, I gotta go. I got some soy sauce waiting for me.
I got some hot sauce waiting for me.
Well, we'll see who wins in the end.
Indeed.
My name is Anglo, and with me I have the spicy Nikkei.
Thanks for listening.
We'll be right back.